Blog Talk Radio.
My heart keeps skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way. Even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking. All awaken from the night. From the shore into the waves, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you mean everything to me. It's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. It's alright, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the ones you love. Shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above. Shine bright, and do it in the name of love. Shine bright, and I promise to never let it die. And if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. Second guessing, it's you I choose. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. Yes, you are light. Yeah, yeah, shine bright. Love!
to never let it die.
You're now tuned into the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of the voices. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both the names of love, As-salamu alaykum. We're going to forego all the formalities today. I want to just share a story with you in the opening of this show, and we're going to see if we can continue to do this show, okay? Brother, so bear with your brother. Listen, evidently, we must have really keyed some people off with the last show, okay? I just want to say this to you, and this is why my attention was taken at the beginning of the show, because I'm trying to work so many things at one time. And there are so many obstacles that have been put up to do this show today, and especially right here, right now. Now, you can come to your own conclusion. I'm just going to put information out here for you, okay? And you can come to your conclusion and see if the show is trying to be blocked. And then if everything springs up, we can go into the show, because I'm using a cell phone to talk to you guys, brothers and sisters. Let me talk to you first, and let me tell you what's going on. I started sending out text messages to everyone, telling them it's about 10, 15, and like 9 minutes before the show started. So my normal list, start doing that. Everything is running smoothly. About 5 minutes before showtime, the power on this block went down. Not the power on the entire block, the power on this side with the two houses here went down. People said that we have a power outage here. Now, there is absolutely no power nowhere. I'm running on a tablet. Thing about it is, my tablet will allow me to get to every page on the internet except Blog Talk Radio. Listen to me good. I've been working this and working this. My tablet has been allowing me to go to every page, every news site on the internet except Blog Talk Radio. So I'm on my tablet and I'm using a hotspot for one of my laptops. The laptop allows me to go to Blog Talk Radio, but the screens are frozen. And this happened within a 5-minute time span of the show going live. So now me and my entire family are huddled in the dark. We have a solar generator that we haven't taken out yet, and we also have portable lights and stuff like that, but we have no access to do the show. So while I'm live on the air, I'm letting you know exactly what is going on. And in the midst of all this, we are having a storm going on outside. But the storm did not affect anybody else area but this area. You understand? And nobody's power is out but the empty house next to us and I. Is that something? Now, you come to your own conclusion. And this happens 5 minutes before the show. And this is not the first time that this has happened. And if this is not someone doing this on purpose, then why is my cell phone and my tablet, my personal tablet, allowing me to go to every page on the internet except Blog Talk Radio? And my laptop is allowing me to go to Blog Talk Radio, but not in real time. So I'm seeing names pop up, and then I'm seeing them go away. Just like right now, the entire Blog Talk Radio page has just disappeared. This is what I'm telling you. So evidently the shows, the series, Economic Card, House of Cards Collapsing, and how we went into Trump's family history of thuggery and immigration, and robbery and murder. Evidently, this must have keyed the people off at the highest order in Washington, D.C., because they're trying to prevent part three from taking place. Are you with me? Are you getting the gist of what is going on? Now my screen pops up, and it says I'm on the air with an hour and 20 minutes left, okay? So we're going through this. Let's run down this, and we'll try to hit some things. For those of you who are just joining us, I'm not in real time. I'm not on my on the line that we use for the show. That's down. That went down when the power went down 5 minutes before the show. I'm in this little room with a click-on, click-off because it's completely dark outside because it's storming. And I'm using my hotspot to beam to my laptop to talk to you through my cell phone, and neither of them will allow me to get to Blog Talk Radio. Come on, black man and black woman. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but come on. Evidently, we must have keyed off people, all right? And they didn't want this third edition of the show to go on. But I'm on my post, and I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. Other people would have just said, you know what? I'm not doing the show. I'm not going to do the show because the devil put up too much opposition. The devil did this. The devil did that. I'm not going to even inform the people who are listening to the show what is going on. They'll just have to, they don't pay me. They'll just have to wait till the next show happens. That's not what it's about with me. I want you to get the truth. I want you to understand what's going on. I want you to see in real time how much opposition that this show has to put up with. This is why I ask you all, if you can, donate to the website, because it goes a long way in helping the show and helping maintain the website. And if you can, be a more than one-time contributor, because this is crazy here. By now, if the people would have donated like they should have, we could have been on an independent server doing this show and not worried about Blog Talk Radio. But you give to the wrong causes and for the wrong reasons, and you think everybody out there is hustling you. And the ones that you give it to are the ones hustling, and the ones that need it are the ones that you are denying it to. You see? But we'll go into this. We'll see how long this holds up. If I get cut off, brothers and sisters, please don't think harsh of me. We're going to do a reboot. Matter of fact, the next live show will be called The Economic House of Cards is Starting to Collapse, Part 3, The Reboot. So this is Part 3. So there may be four or five parts in this thing, but it only may be titled up to Part 4, okay? So we'll do a reboot when everything comes back online. All praise is due to Allah. So we're going to do this show as far as we can with what we have before all of the power goes out, before the tablets die, before the laptop die, before the light, the battery power lights die, before the phones die, okay? So you bear with your brother, and you know that I'm doing it from my heart to be doing this in a dark room and to be going through this, putting up this much effort to talk to you, to give you the rundown, the skinny, as they say, the low on what's really happening. So in the last show, we were showing you, we were transitioning from the military component of the economy of the American empire, and showing you just how desperate it is. Now, we're going to put, if we're allowed to continue on in the show, we're going to put some more of the military component in there, because this is how we show the desperation of the empire. But what we do want to show at the same time is that America, the economic component, is what is driving her towards a military conflagration. She's desperate, right? She's desperate. I'm going to say this again. She's desperate. Remember, I always make these quotes, and I do this for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Whenever you hear me repeat something over and over again, it is to drive a message home to you. Because sometimes we see things and we don't see the urgency of it, or we don't see the flashing lights around it. And remember, the book says that Satan would come down and have great wrath for he knows he has but a short time. If you look at the world's picture, the entire view of the scope and landscape of the geopolitical and the economic and the political arena, you will see America and NATO having rafts around the world. They're doing everything from overthrowing governments to threatening governments to sanctioning their peers and even in some cases their military superiors and economic lenders to even going so far as to threatening them with military confrontation. And knowing that she may not be victorious in these things, she still is doing this because she is desperate. This is the part of that Bible when it talked about that Satan would come down heaven's great wrath, for she knows he has but a short time. So he's threatening the nations, but in these threats, they're alienating not only foes, but friends. They're revealing themselves. The book says that man of sin would be revealed. This is the time. Do you think if this madman Trump wasn't in office, that the world would be able to see America in such a way as they now see America? Do you believe that? I was in the dojo. We were in the dojo last night. And the conversation between our Asian brothers and a couple of white cohorts were about Trump. And they all flocked around me as they were talking about Trump. And they were talking about how insane he was and how he's driving the nation to his knees and how the political system is poison to the core. Now, this is what they're saying. I'm privy to this. I'm studying that. I'm listening to them. And they ask me my thoughts on certain things. And so, and I'm getting text messages at the same time. People are telling me, keep going, brother. I thank y'all for that. Thank you for that. I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have while I have it right now, okay? And they were talking about, in the midst of all of these things, America is being isolated. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about the isolation of America, and then she would be burned with fire? Remember that? Remember how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that it is prophecy, saying that the nations that once came towards America would turn away from America. And in the twinkling of an eye, America would become an isolated, hated, the most hated of nations. Elijah Muhammad told you that, right? And we're watching that in real time. And the more isolated America becomes, and the more hated she becomes, the more desperate her situation economically becomes. And when a person is desperate, it's almost like, and I'm going to use this analogy again, a boxer who has been on top for the longest. He's been able to beat all his rivals and competition and even squeak out close victories against his nemesis and his rivals. And he retired, he refuses to retire, but he's on top. And he sees these young bloods coming up, challenging him. And he said he thinks that he is still what he used to be 10 years ago. And so he's fighting, he accepts the challenge because his ego and his pride won't let him walk away. And as he accepts the challenge, he gets in the ring with a young lion and realizes that he ain't what he used to be, and they ain't what they thought they were. More intense, more powerful, and more gung-ho. And he is more timid, shy, and his body is breaking down. The military is breaking down. His economic politics is breaking down, right? And so in these desperate situations, he thought that he would be able to bully and use his so-called experience to win. But he realized that the young lion has youth, power. He's wet behind the ears, so he ought to realize that he should be fearing the so-called champion, right? And so as the rounds go further and he continues to get hit with body shots and uppercuts and straight jabs, this is taking a toll on him. So he knows that he's saying in himself, I can't just quit. So I'm going to prepare myself for a Hail Mary. And I'm going to take a couple of his blows, and I'm going to sucker him in, and I'm going to throw my hardest punch and try to knock him out. And so this is what America has done. And then she realized when she threw her hardest punch that it didn't even budge the young stallion, the young lion. So desperation had set in. So she's filing and biting as Mike Tyson did, kicking and kneeing and elbowing and doing all that stuff, being called for all kinds of violations in the ring. This is America. That analogy fits perfectly with America and NATO. We're seeing this in real time. None of you can deny this, right? And as I played on the show before, that even America's troops, remember this, even America's troops are fearing that America pushing for more war. Elijah Muhammad told you that she would push for that. But in her pushing for that, it would be her own undoing, not just militarily, but politically and economically, because each one of them have a ramification and a blowback effect to the others. And it becomes more and more of an isolating event for the empire. And so even her allies become her, what they call on the streets, frenemies. I'm going to be your friend when it suits me, but I'm your enemy because I really and truly hate you. Huh. Are you listening? I sure hope we're still on the air. I sure hope that we're still on the air because we're going through a lot today to get this show going. And I did not want to cancel this show. And in the last few minutes, God gave me an idea to put these things together to try to keep this show going. I'm showing you just how dedicated I am to the cause, the show, and to the love of my black people, getting this truth as revealed by Almighty God through his last and his greatest messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So you have to bear with me as we go further. Now, the desperate empire is in trouble. And you may be hearing the thunder behind closed doors. It is thundering real bad out here, and it's lightning real bad out here. So, again, the dedication. You may hear it in the background. My brothers and sisters, I want you to, I remember I said, as we go into this third part, I want to refresh your memories from the last show so that you can understand where we are as we transition to the economic part. Because it is a must, and very, very important that you continue to play back the previous show so that you can get an understanding of where we're going into this show. So we're gonna go into a clip, and I want you to pay close attention to Mr. Trump bragging about his nuclear superiority, right? Then we're going to go into Mr. Schiff talking about, some people are talking about an economic bubble and how the interest rates will collapse. We're going to go into all that, and then we're going to go from there into more in-depth clips, okay? So let's go. I'm going to keep my word to you all, and we're going to refresh with these clips. I want you to listen to this madman here. America has more money than anybody. America has more money than anybody, so we'll build up our weapons and our arsenal bigger than anybody. Yeah, you have more money than anybody because you continue to print more money than anybody. But the question that should be asked is that money valuable at all? Huh? Because you can print all the money you want if it has no assets backing it, no value behind it. I can go get me some notebook paper and start writing me a denomination of a currency on it, but will anybody accept it if I don't back it with anything? Huh? These are things that should be in your mind as you hear this madman, this lunatic, as we say, this berserker, who is a president of a berserker nation, speak about his politics of war and the threatening of nations who are equal to and in some ways superior to them economically and militarily. Listen closely again to this fool.
Russia has not adhered to the agreement. They should have been done years ago. Until people come to their senses, we have more money than anybody else by far. We'll build it up until they come to their senses. When they do, then we'll all be smart, and we'll all stop. And by the way, not only stop, we'll reduce.
The treaty in question, the INF, or the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty of 1987, it restricts what kind of nuclear weapons can be constructed. It essentially outlaws short-range and intermediate-range nuclear weapons, nuclear missiles, from being constructed. It was signed back in 1987, it was seen as a key moment in ending the Cold War, de-escalating the conflict between the USA and the Soviet Union. Now, we know John Bolton is at this moment in Russia. He has already met with the Russian foreign minister, as well as the Russian National Security Council. He is speaking rather vaguely about the possibility of a new treaty being negotiated, and he isn't exactly clear on what the United States is going to do. He's not using the bold type of language that we are hearing from Trump. The United Kingdom has spoken up in support of this action by the United States, saying that the USA is right to make this move. But throughout the European Union, we are hearing disappointment with this statement. We have heard different EU countries represented opposing this action and referring to it as regrettable. Let's take a listen to some of what's been said.
We regret the withdrawal announcement by the US. We see this treaty as a very important instrument of arms control and one that serves European interests and therefore German interests as well.
I think it has also become clear this weekend that NATO will have to address the issue thoroughly, including at the upcoming meeting next week. Germany will actively contribute to the discussion because we stand in favor of the preservation of this treaty and we stand for a working disarmament mechanism in Europe. That is our goal. We hope the USA will avoid withdrawing.
I believe that the U.S. and Russia need to remain engaged in constructive dialogue to preserve the treaty and to ensure that it's full and verifiable implementation, which of course is crucial for Europe's and global security.
So the fact that a 30-year-old treaty is now in question, a treaty that was key in ending the Cold War and the nuclear arms race, this points to a rising level of tension between the United States and Russia.
Dario Rivolta, a former Italian MP and international relations analyst, says Trump won't listen to Europe as he's looking to his own country's midterm elections.
All the voices are agreeing. All of them are on the same way. The fact is that Mr. Trump looks to be less attentive to what Europeans are thinking about. And so I'm not so sure that European voice or the voice of the different European countries can convince him to get back. We have to add another thing, that most probably the real reason for which Trump made that statement is due to the midterm elections that he is going to have in beginning November. And I think that more than for international reason, it was due to internal reasons that the decision of Americans arrived.
So we hear the squirrelness and anger from her European counterparts of her arrogant policies, right? We see that America is threatening the nation. Now, she's bankrupt. I want you to think about how crazy this is. Because some of us, when we listen to this and when we look at this, we don't look at the lunacy behind all of this. If you have a $22 trillion official deficit, and you have trillions in educational student debt, you have trillions in outstanding loans, car debt, and what they call public debt. You have tens of trillions in what they call private debt. You have trillions and hundreds of trillions in unfunded liability. You have trillions in military investment in the military industrial complex, debt in there. And you have quadrillions of dollars. I didn't say trillions. I didn't say tens of trillions. I didn't say hundreds of trillions. I said quadrillions of dollars in debt in the derivative market. What person that's in that much debt would threaten the largest financiers of the nation? Do you understand what I'm saying? This has to be a madman. This is like you and your wife living in a house, or you and your husband living in a house. You have somebody that's funding y'all living it, right? And you can't have a, and then you start cussing out the people that are funding your lifestyle, right? And then you threaten to go to war with the people who are the security of your livelihood. Do you see the madness of this? In your own household, if you have a rebellious king and they do that, I know in black people household, they will throw you out. Since you want to be gone, There's the door. There's the street. Hit it. The same thing applies when we're looking at it, but you don't apply this common sense when you're looking at America and her policy. But it is common sense. She is an insane, berserker nation. Nothing that she does makes sense. Nothing that she does is really logical. Everything that she's doing is to the detriment of the livelihood of the American Republic and the American Empire. She is actually cutting off her foot and one of her hands instead of her own body. When we look at it like this, we get a more comprehensive picture of the insanity that is prevailing over the American psyche. We're watching and we're looking and we're living it. And we're starting to see that the economic house of cards, which is the building block for the entire world, which is America, is starting to collapse. And the ramifications for the entire world of the Anglo-Saxon or the people of Yakub could not be more dire. You understand? Cannot be more dire. Now, they're threatening nations. I'm going to read something to you because I want to bring something up to you as we play one more clip about this military thing and transition to the economics. I want you to listen closely because it's something in here that is directly pertaining to America and her actions and her policies towards these nations. Because Muhammad says that, I think in page 124, I believe. Let's go to that real quick, since it's on my mind. I told you, brothers and sisters, as I'm talking to you, wherever Allah gives me, that's what I give to you right then and there. So, on page 124 of The Fall of America, it's called She Had Become the Habitation of Devils, right? Listen to what he says, Elijah Muhammad says to you. Listen close. This is America. The glory of the world and wealth, sport and play, with her merchant ships plowing the high seas, carrying her costly merchandise throughout the populations of the nations of the earth. The ships of America can be seen everywhere, in every port of the nations of earth. Her great navy is built to command the high seas. Her decks are mounted with great bristling rifle barrel guns. The decks of her ships are covered with planes with which to carry deadly bombshells to pour on other nations, listen to this, who dare now to reject her entrance into their water. Isn't that what she's doing now when she goes into the Black Sea, when she goes into the Bering Strait, when she goes into the Persian Gulf, when she goes into the Strait of Hormuz, when she goes into the Mediterranean, when she goes down close to South America so that she can try to pump Venezuela and the nations that want to rebel against her? Is that not what she's doing? But Muhammad goes further and says this. He likens this to the prophecy talking about America. He says, the writer, which writer? John, he says. He specifically clues you in on John. The writer John foresaw America threatening and daring the nations to disobey her order to allow her entry. What did you just hear, huh? If China and Russia does not submit, we're going to build up our forces and our nuclear forces. Matter of fact, let me refresh your memory from this lunacy so that you can understand that this is prophecy in real time. And you can see that America is desperately trying to cower the nations so that she can bluff them and make them submit or acquiesce to her policies of domination economically and politically, okay? And she's using the military to do so. Let's go to this. Let's listen to him, this mad lunatic, one more time. So you can.
Russia has not adhered to the agreement. They should have been done years ago. Until people come to their senses, we have more money than anybody else by far. We'll build it up. Until they come to their senses. When they do, then we'll all be smart and we'll all stop. And by the way, not only stop, we'll reduce.
The treaty in question, the INF, or the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty of 1987, it restricts what kind of nuclear weapons can be constructed. It essentially outlaws short-range and intermediate-range nuclear weapons, nuclear missiles, from being constructed. It was signed Back in 1987, it was seen as a key moment in ending the Cold War, de-escalating the conflict between the USA and the Soviet Union. Now, we know John Bolton is at this moment in Russia. He has already met with the Russian foreign minister, as well as the Russian National Security Council. He is speaking rather vaguely about the possibility of a new treaty being negotiated, and he isn't exactly clear on what the United States is going to do. He's not using the bold type of language that we are hearing from Trump. The United Kingdom.
So, you heard this boy. I cut it short. I didn't want the whole clip. I just wanted you to listen to the madness of how he is accusing other people. This is what America does. When she's guilty of that, she accuses another person so that she can justify her moves outside of those treaties. Remember that the treaties, international treaties, according to the U.S. Constitution, the same Constitution that these devils advocate whenever it suits them, says that international treaties are the law of the land. You don't hear these so-called conservative alternative blogs talk about this. They'll just say the UN wants to have a world government. The UN wants to take over America. You know, these white people are tripped. They always pretending to be the victim when everybody on earth know that the United States run the United Nations. Everybody. But that fact gets lost in translation. But it's these threats, right? She's preparing for war. Muhammad says this on his page down low. He says, the prophet who foresaw all of this readiness and preparation for the world showdown of military might says, woe to the land shadowing with wings. So John foresaw America threatening nations, but as she was threatening them, she was preparing for war because she knew that her time was limited. And how was her time limited? We had already read, Muhammad talks about America seems as immovable as mountains, but he warns you and he enlightens you. He says, the powerful, rich world of Christianity. And then he puts an emphasis on America. He says, but it's especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. But it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by high explosives. So wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. So these high explosives that were laid at the base of American society and her gold exchanges, right, and at her stock markets, all these, the NASDAQs and the comic, all this stuff. There was economic dynamite at the very base when America came off the gold and the silver standard. It ushered in an age of money printing. What God did, he moved the hurdle for America that kept her nation solvent. And he knew that if he allowed them, he put a temptation before them. They would bite it. He put a little bait on the hook and drew them in. And when they said, oh, we took the world off and we didn't collapse, so we have to pretend as though our money is worth something, so let's strike up some deals through threats to keep the dollar going and keep our military and economic and political edge over our rivals at such a height that they can never aspire to. And then this is where you get the Project for the New American Century, when they said that they would not allow any rival of America, any combination of rivals, to compete against America or to rise up as though she aspired to compete against America. Their thing was, yes, we are insolvent, but if we move our military around the globe, in all of the strategic lands and have bases everywhere where we can cut off the oil supply, cut off the gas supply, right? Threaten commerce. See, they blame China. China has never once threatened commerce in the South China Sea. But America continues to talk about closing off the Strait of Hormuz, closing off the Black Sea to Russia, closing off the Bering Strait to Russia, closing off the Mediterranean to Syria, which resides on the Mediterranean, right? See, she uses these things as white male against the people. She wants to white male you into submitting to her. And the Jews who had this idea that these military bases everywhere and have our military component near or in these nations or near or in these waterways or near or in these pipeline areas. We can continue with the petrodollar in perpetuity and be prosperous. But the more expenditures that the nation undertook, the more it emptied the coffers of the nation and the empire. The more threatening that the nation became, the more the allies started having a second look. The more their funders started saying, we will keep funding them. And people would say, well, why would China keep buying debt? Why would Japan keep buying debt? This is what you call shock therapy, right? They will use this if necessary. It will not destroy the empire, but it will devastate the empire, as Peter Schiff said, and as I'm trying to get them right, Peter Schiff, Gregory Mannarino, and I think it was the one that said that America did good by being a white nation. I forget his name. He's an investor. I forget his name. It would come to me. But anyway, as I said, when they did this, somebody's talking to me too, brothers and sisters. They did this for a reason. They did this to have leverage because they knew this would not destroy the empire, but it would devastate it and throw the empire into a state of convulsion, meaning that they would have time then to mount an offensive or a counteroffensive if the need arises. China was so smart about this. This is something that the investors of the West don't get. As China invested in America, I want you to pay close attention. This goes to what Elijah Muhammad says, what he says, but it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by high explosives. What China did was very, very smart and very, very courageous, because most nations would not do that. As they invested in America, and as they agreed to recycle their dollars from their manufacturing, if America brought the manufacturing over to China, China built up a storehouse of credit, a storehouse of assets, right? And as they did that, they quietly built up their military industrial complex to be self-sufficient in most ways. So, because they knew that you need the military component to rebuff America using the economic component. And you also need a political component, or have to have allies to support you when these things occur. Most nations were not wise enough to see that. So as China gets this information from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Muhammad tells them that you were made to take on this man, and when you fight this man, you will be victorious. As they passed Muhammad's lectures away and came through and saw the truth of Muhammad, they went to work to challenge America. And most people didn't see the genius in China buying America's debt. Because as China bought, they didn't just buy trillions at one time. It was over time they accumulated. And what they did, they transferred, and they accumulated $50. Per $50, they may have taken $20 and reinvested in China, right? Split that $20 up, 10 in China, 10 in their military. And then they'll take another 10, right, and buy assets. And they kept 20 as not to alarm their enemy as what was taking place. Because if they would have done something differently, it would have quickly alarmed America, and she would have pulled the plug on the manufacturing, on the technology transfers, and on the reinvesting component of all of this. So China was very smart. And so for every $50 to $100, China would take 60 of it and invest back in China and invest in their military and invest in substantial assets as to cover them. And they had already written off the losses of the other 30 to 40%. They had already written it off because they realized their plan would withstand them losing substantial amounts of dollar assets. You can't bring this nation down unless you're willing to risk assets. Because, look, they have a plunge protection team that when there's a major sell-off into the trillions, immediately the plunge protection team steps in. You've heard that on the show. We've let you hear Rob Kirby. We've let you hear Gregory Manarino. All of them have confirmed this. So China knows this. And what they did, they started buying up assets around the globe with the money that they kept. And now they have, some believe, between 28 and 40,000 tons of gold and 20 to 40,000 tons of silver. So if they wanted to peg their currency to the gold or the silver, they can do it. Or if the dollar were to collapse, if they decided to, okay, we're going to make a run on the dollar, knowing that if they make the run on the dollar, if they have $2 trillion in assets, they won't get that $2 trillion. They may lose a whole $1 trillion because America's going to pump the brakes on it. But this will start other nations running out of the dollar. And this is what they're doing. They're putting an economic sacrifice before the global table. You didn't understand that, did you? And nobody explained that to you. And you get it free here. But you won't donate to the Star and Crescent Report or the Hines 1555 law. You Negroes crazy as hell. You're going to get what you deserve, brothers and sisters. But let's go further. So as they do this, remember, as I said to you, I haven't forgotten my first thought. I want to read something to you because Trump is doing a lot of boasting. And I see that the battery life, I guess it didn't charge. I didn't have it on the charge, so the battery of the show, the laptop is going low. So I'm going to do this until it gets to almost nothing, and we'll cut the show off, and then we'll do part 3A or 3B on the next live show or something like that, okay? But at least your brother is showing that he's on his post and he's doing what he's supposed to do, even through all of these obstacles that are laid before us. Now, we have these obstacles laid before us, and you're in a better position. Why won't you do what you're supposed to be doing? Huh? No excuses. My motto, my family motto, as we go to martial arts, when we pull up there or on our way there, we all put our hands together and we say, I call it out, no excuses. My children say, just results. That's what we do. And that's what I want you to start doing, okay? No excuses, just results. That's my family's motto. Even though we have a lot going on and there are a lot of things that challenge us, we try to stay as a cohesive unit through it all. And we pray to Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farah Muhammad, that he continues to bless us and protect us. Because we see what's going on. We see what's going on. And it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I can say that truly, and I can say that honestly, because I understand the time. But listen to this, because this is something to what Trump just said, and then we're going to play the clips because I know the battery is running low. I got 2-3 things I want to show you in this, and then we're going to play the clips, okay? It says, we're on page 192, 193, okay? Fall of America. The head is going to and fro to the nations of the earth to find a way of peace between the heads of the nations. Stop right there. If you have an ambassador or you're the president of a nation or the prime minister of a nation and you send somebody to speak in your presence, then that is considered you there. Is that not right? That's why you have ambassadors. They're representatives of you. Right? John Bolton was in China trying to beg. Then when he couldn't get what he wanted, he started threatening. John Bolton went to Russia trying to beg and trying to cause a split between Russia and China. And when he couldn't get what he wanted, he started threatening. This is the playbook of the Western world. To divide and conquer. If I can't divide and conquer, then I'm going to threaten you. All right? There's something to this. Muhammad says, the head is going to and fro to the nations of the earth to find a way of peace between the heads of the nations. A great time, a troublesome time, a terrible time. The hearts of the people all begin to weaken and to fail because of what is going on and what they see coming. You see? They see something. power within the horizon. Keep that in your head, brothers and sisters. Keep that in your head. Now let's go further. America and her people have lived so rich and so joyfully in wickedness, murder, robbery, and hatred of one another until it has hardened their hearts so much that they are made to think that they can make friends and live on with those upon whom they had no mercy. Stop right there for a minute. They occupied Japan, right? They occupied South Korea. Is that not right? They're still occupying them today. They're causing a divide between North and South Korea and South Korea and China, but China and South Korea are trying to mend it on the side. They've caused a divide between Japan and China, but there's something going on that's bigger than that divide. There's prophecy coming on. America was supposed to return those islands to China, but what she did, because China was in a weakened military state, she didn't have a navy at the time. Kitchen between Japan and China, she turned over the islands to Japan. And that's why China and Japan continues to fight over those islands that are out there, the Senkaku or the Diaoyu Islands. America, this is what that white man does. He gets in between brothers, and then he chooses a side. But something took place that is magnificent in my eyes, I should say. When China and Japan met, the prime minister had flown to China, to Beijing, and met behind closed doors with Xi Jinping. Then he met in public with Xi Jinping. And they mapped over a 200 billion yuan deal with more yuans as time progressed. And this did not happen in a vacuum. Listen to me good, brothers and sisters, because when you look at these news prints, you don't look at everything. This happened on the heels of both Japan and China, and Russia and India, but specifically Japan, China, and quietly South Korea selling massive amounts of U.S. Treasury bonds, right? This didn't happen in a vacuum, so what are they doing? They're unloading debt as not to alarm the empire, and at the same time, they are increasing trade with their own currency, weakening the dollar, which means that America is now forced to have the largest treasury bond sale that they've had in recent memory that's coming up. Do you know that? Because they don't have the funds to support the government. Now, who in the hell do you think in their right mind going to buy the U.S. bond when they threaten the war with everybody? So the prime protection team has to come out of nowhere with those trillions of dollars. But listen, when the stampede of the dollar takes place, these dollars will flood back in and will cause hyperinflation. There may be a moment of deflationary deflation. But there will be hyper. There's no way that you can print that much money. And when it comes back within its own borders, that it does not hyperinflate and destroy the value, what little value that's left. Do you see? You don't get this, but it's right in Elijah Muhammad's teaching. But let's go a little further. It says, hold on, I got to make this point. Japan and China, remember? I was telling you about that. Muhammad says this, that America thinks that they can live on as friends upon those whom they had no mercy with. Remember, they tried to break up China. Remember, they dropped two nuclear bombs on Japan. And they believe that those are their allies. They truly believe that those people are their friends. I don't care how long it takes me to get back at you. If you come and slaughter my family, the law of justice says, I got to slaughter yours. This is what the white man knows, and he thinks that everybody else is dumb too. This is the law that he puts in effect anywhere. Kill one of his soldiers. See what happens. Threaten him. See what happens. Bomb one of his cities. See what happens. Even threaten the possibility of bombing one of his cities or one of his outposts around the world and see what happens. He puts that law into effect. But he wants everybody else to be inept, to be impotent in putting that into effect. It don't work like that, but let's go further. They crushed all the weak nations of the earth with their power and brought them into the clutches of slavery. They forced other nations to bow. They pushed their borders around the earth as Nebuchadnezzar did in his day and time. But in those days, Nebuchadnezzar boasted. And think it over. Think over this. England made the same boast. England used to boast that the sun did not set on her empire. Take a look at England today. There is no British empire for the sun or the moon to set on. This is a warning to America he's talking about. But America don't, she's not taking it, right? And he warns her on page 198. All of the plagues, destructions, and judgments which Allah used to destroy the wicked and disobedient from the time of Adam until this day will be brought upon America. Then she will be burned with fire. This is the time of trouble that shall bring America into insanity. What's going on? Look at the leadership. Are they not insane? Look at the populace of America. Are they not insane? Huh? And look around. Storm after storm. Destruction after destruction. Killing after killing. Mass murder after mass murder. Right? The judgment has been set. The people want judgment. They want freedom. They want peace, right? But they don't want the judgment to come after them. They want to have peace, but the judgment is set. So Muhammad says, and I'm going to say this, and then we'll go to the clips because I got to lay the base for this. We go to page, I'm skipping around here as it comes to me. Look, on page 213, we get an understanding of what is going on. Muhammad says, let it be remembered, because most of y'all forget this. So I have to put it out there in good terms. Let it be remembered that Allah came forth for the redemption, and then in parentheticals, he puts in bold words, to deliver. Then he says, the American blessed people from their torments. Whether we like it or not, he will do this. Not we, not us, not they, not them, but he, singular. He will do this. This is the word of Allah, which is in effect, that word. The breaking of America's economy, the isolating of America politically and geopolitically, the breaking of a military might, right? Is that not right? The causing of the civil explosion and commotion within our own borders. This is a troubled time, but then we read that. Trouble with no end, is that not right? So Muhammad says, let America use the history of the fall and destruction of ancient Egypt and her pharaohs. Let their stories or histories serve as a warning. They were brought to naught for their evil done to a people whom Allah had chosen for an example of these last days. Now, if we look at that, we can see that the more America suffers, the more she lashes out at her ex-slave. And then the more she lashes out at us, the more destruction comes within our borders, the more she suffers, right? She goes over there, and she wages a war. Then she comes over and her police force starts killing us on a mass scale. Then the next thing you know, a storm the size bigger than the state of North Carolina hits the East Coast. Destroys the military base over there. On the East Coast, listen to me good. This is how Allah strikes back out. Destroys the F-22s and F-35, the most precious fighters in America's military inventory. The base is not habitable anymore, causing hundreds of billions of dollars in damage and destruction. And that's just the base alone. That's not talking about the lives lost, the destruction, and the havoc that's caused by that great storm, that enormous storm that hit the East Coast. This is the law chastised in America. You hit my children, I'm going to hit yours. And who do you think is going to come out victorious in all of this? See, and now Allah is hitting her money markets. Let's go into this real quick, because time is of the essence, and I know my battery power. For those of you who are joining us now, let me tell you something. 5 minutes before the show started, just conveniently, the power went out in this area, but it only went out in this building, this house, and the house next to it. The internet went down, but conveniently, it only went down in this area with this house and the next house. I can access all of the internet pages on my phone and my tablet except for Blog Talk Radio. I have to do that on this laptop, but I'm using a hotspot to beam internet to my laptop, and I'm talking to you via one of my cell phones, okay? But 5 minutes before the show, conveniently all of this happened. All praise is due to Allah. But we're here on our post, and we're doing what we're supposed to do. And if you have time, if you appreciate the show, if you appreciate the sacrifice, please, after this, go to the Hines 1555 blog and donate to the Star and Crescent Report and the Hines 1555 blog, okay? All praise is due to Allah. But I want you to see, we're going to go back into something. We're going to listen to this, okay, about the economic bubble and what's coming. All right?
Let's start with this. You know the expression, nothing this good can last forever? Keep that in mind. Because today, once again, we began the day with the stock market plunging almost 500 points. Now, I know what you're probably thinking just about now. A story about what the stock market did on one day is a fool's errand. And trust me, I don't want to be anybody's fool on this thing. But there are some important facts here that we should all probably be keeping tabs on as we look at this story. For example, the idea that the Federal Reserve can keep interest rates around 0% is kind of cool, right? Think about it. It's great to borrow almost for free, but it's also kind of unheard of. So ask yourself this very important question. If our so-called fixed economy was only fixed or stimulated artificially by having the Fed keep interest rates down around zero for 9 years, then ask yourself, what's going to happen when those interest rates start to go up? Seriously, this is important. In other words, at some point, things have to be normalized, right? And you know what's not normal? Free or almost free is, that's not normal. Free or not free is not normal. You know that. So here's what experts like David Stockman are pointing out right now. David Stockman's a pretty reliable guy, right? I mean, this guy was Ronald Reagan's budget director. Smart guy. What he and others like him are warning about is something called the household sector. What is it? All right. The household sector is guys like us, you know, schmoes like you and me, regular people. We buy, we spend, we borrow every single day. What have we done over the last decade? We, you, me, and others, and another 155 million of us, by the way. Not the big guys, not the big fat cats, just the regular folks who make up most of America. All right. We are the household sector, and we've amassed $15.2 trillion in debt. Once again, $15.2 trillion in debt is what we've amassed in the last decade. And in fact, and this is really interesting, as the economy has gotten better, we haven't paid down our debts, generally speaking, as Americans. We've actually borrowed more. Why? It's kind of simple. We had no incentive to pay it down because the Fed kept pushing interest rates down so low and kept them there. It actually encouraged us, as Americans, to go out and buy more stuff. So what happens? When the interest rates start to go back up, say they go up another point, or maybe 2 points. Well, here's the problem. When that happens, experts say, it's going to add $250 billion in interest expenses to our cumulative household budgets, all of us together. And that's one of the reasons that blips like what we saw today are more than just another down day on the Dow. Peter Schiff's going to be joining us in a little while, and he's going to be able to explain this for us. And the most important part is you're probably listening to this conversation we're having right now, and you're asking yourself, well, how's this going to affect me, right? It's going to affect you. And that's why you should listen to the conversation, because Peter's an expert on this, and he's been talking about it a lot. Oh, by the way, do you remember when your mother told you that nothing this good can last forever? She was right. I'm Rick Sanchez. Explaining things in full because we're not like them. This is RT America.
Hey YouTube, thanks for checking out our channel. We hope you enjoyed the video. We have tons of content for you just like this. For more of RT America's one-of-a-kind news and analysis, be sure to subscribe to never stop questioning more.
So remember what Elijah Muhammad says that about those mountains can be removed by high explosives, and how we were telling you about this economic dynamite laid at the base of America and how it's about to explode. I'm going to play this clip one more time, but I want you to listen to the first minute of what he's saying, okay? And you'll see the reason, again, if I play something or say something over and over, it's because it's very, very important to you. And I don't want it to go over your head, okay? So I'm going to read something to you again. Where's the book at? Oh, let me grab my books real quick. And I'm going to read this to you, okay? And then after I read this to you, I want to I'm getting the books. Here we go. I want you to listen to the first minute and a half of what he has to say, okay? Because he's talking about something that Americans have been doing over and over and over, and instead of paying away the debt, they've accumulated more and more debt. Remember what Elijah Muhammad says. The powerful, rich world of Christianity, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as a mountain. But it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by high explosives. And then he equates the high. Listen, I'm not just saying this. He takes the high explosive and he equates it to wealth and power. He says, so wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. So if you hear me saying this, don't think Rashid Muhammad is wise. Hell, you moon worshipers. You better be looking at the brilliance of the light of the sun, because I'm just reflecting the message from the messenger. You understand that? Pay close attention to this. This first minute or so, and you'll see what he likes.
Let's start with this. You know the expression, nothing this good can last forever? Keep that in mind. Because today, once again, we began the day with the stock market plunging almost 500 points. Now, I know what you're probably thinking just about now. A story about what the stock market did on one day is a fool's errand. And trust me, I don't want to be anybody's fool on this thing. But there are some important facts here that we should all probably be keeping tabs on as we look at this story. For example, the idea that the Federal Reserve can keep interest rates around 0% is kind of cool, right? Think about it. It's great to borrow almost for free, but it's also kind of unheard of. So ask yourself this very important question. If our so-called fixed economy was only fixed or stimulated artificially by having the Fed keep interest rates down around zero for 9 years, then ask yourself, what's going to happen when those interest rates start to go up? Seriously, this is important. In other words, at some point, things...
Yeah, this is what he unhinged them when the law had enticed America to go off the gold and silver standard, because America was involved in all of these things covertly. She needed more currency. She needed more money. She needed more funding. And de Gaulle was seeing how America was spending money. And de Gaulle got kind of, he was a shot devil. And he says, hey, you're spending a little bit too much. And Nixon said that, our currency is as good as gold. And de Gaulle says, well, then give me gold. And so he put in for his nation to change in all of their dollar-held assets for gold. And Richard Nixon was forced. If he would not have taken the world off the gold and silver standard, America would have been exposed right then and there that she had not had the gold that she had been claiming that she had. And the same thing is taking place today with Hugo Chavez demanded the gold back from America. And he said, we're not going to wait. If you got our gold, you should be able to transport it soon. It shouldn't take you no 5, 10, 20 years to give us back the little bit of gold and silver that you have of ours. He demanded that of America, of France, and of England. And if they would not have returned the gold and returned it in a proper timeline, they would have been exposed internationally. You understand what I'm saying? And this is why they had to take this man out of power. That's why they had to kill him. Because he was an example for other nations. And now you see what he did is becoming common practice and place in international affairs. But it wasn't so until Hugo Chavez took the lead on that. You understand what I'm saying? So Muhammad was right when he said, but it is not impossible to remove mountains. they can be removed by high explosives. And he made that equation and said, so wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. Well, how can it be reduced to nothing? If you allow a nation to take all of the spending restrictions, right? This is why a lot of athletes and a lot of entertainers go bankrupt. When they remove all of the spending caps and all of the hurdles that would prevent them or would hinder them from buying what they want when they want it, they will get lost in the moment, and before you know it, when they go to their bank account, it's at zero. This is the same thing that's happened to England, France, Germany, and especially America, but the two specific is Germany and America. These two. And you're going to hear what Peter Schiff has to say about what he sees coming to the American economy. You know how they blew up the World Trade Center with thermite and low-yield nuclear weapons? This is what is actually happening to the very core of the American and the global financial system. By the East getting gold instead of accepting Western currency paper with printed denominations on it, with their colonial leaders on those papers, and demanding some tangible assets, it is lighting the fuse, and the bomb is exploding against the foundation of white privilege and white hegemony. Well, let's listen to what Peter Schiff has to say about what he thinks coming to America pretty soon, okay? I want you to pay close attention to this right here.
We began today's newscast with another market slump. There's been a couple of them of late. Yes, it recovered later in the day, but many very smart people are saying it may be a sign of some things to come. One of those is Peter Schiff. Peter is the CEO and the chief global strategist at Euro Pacific Capital. He's all over the Googles, as they say, and he's all over YouTube as well. I see him there myself all the time. Really smart, passionate commentary is what he offers. Something he often has a tendency to say things, by the way, that a lot of people don't. So, Peter, thanks so much for being with us. You know, I don't know if you caught the very beginning of the show, but I explained that there's a household debt issue of about $15 trillion out there. Is that the only debt that we need to be worried about?
Yeah. No, everybody is loaded up with debt. And it's not like we began this monetary experiment without much debt. We had a lot of debt in 2008. In fact, the financial crisis was about debt. It was about our inability to pay the debt that we had. But instead of addressing the problem and allowing debt to be paid down, the Federal Reserve led us down the primrose path into much deeper debt by keeping interest rates at zero and holding them there for so long. The Federal Reserve actually encouraged an overly indebted nation to borrow even more money. So now it's all facets of American society that are leveraged to the hilt. Individuals, corporations, the federal government, the state and local governments. So everybody is loaded up with debt. And guess what? Interest rates are now finally rising. And that means the cost of servicing that debt is going up. And this is going to be a problem, just like an adjustable rate mortgage was a big problem in 2008. When these things were resetting, people couldn't afford to pay. Well, the same thing is going to happen on a national scale. Rates are going up, and we're too broke to pay.
So the problem is if we try and normalize things, it's going to create chaos. Is there any way that we can avoid that at this point?
No, it's impossible. In fact, because we kept it going so long, the collapse is going to be that much bigger. I mean, the sooner we face that reality, the better. But no politician wants to face that reality.
Right.
I mean, they want to pretend everything is great.
Right, of course. And by the way, the Trump tax cut, does it alleviate the concern, worsen the concern? What does it do?
Well, obviously, it makes the concerns worse because if the government is collecting less revenue, then the deficits are getting bigger. And so now the government has to borrow even more money, and that becomes an even bigger problem. What we need is smaller government. But nobody wants to shrink government, including Donald Trump, who's now the defender of Social Security and Medicare. He wants to launch another nuclear arms race and start the Space Force. So it's all about spending more money. So Trump wants to spend more money and cut taxes at the same time. I mean, that's completely reckless.
All right, let me not ask you a question as a news guy now. Let me just ask you a question as Joe Citizen sitting out here listening to your conversation, where I'm thinking, man, this guy's making some sense, but I'm very concerned about what he's saying. What are the signs that I should be looking for, and what should I do about it?
Well, the signs are already there. I mean, look, the stock market is falling. 40% of the S&P is already in a bear market. So the stock market is forward looking to the next recession. Looking at what's happening with the home builders, the housing stocks, the financials, the retailers, all these are the same things that were happening in 2007 leading to that crisis. So people need to be prepared. This is not only going to be an economic crisis, but a political crisis as well, because the Republicans are going to take the blame and socialism is going to be seen as the solution. And it's going to make the problems that much worse when it's implemented, you know, 2021. So what you've got to do is get out of U.S. dollar assets. The dollar is going to be the biggest casualty, along with the American standard of living. But you've got to invest in foreign assets. Look at some of the bargains in foreign stock markets, emerging markets that have been depressed by the strong dollar. They're going to see a boom when the dollar weakens. And look at the price of gold, up another $8 today, but it's still about $1,230. Gold's going to new highs. It was at 1900 in 2011. It's going to go much higher this time.
Sounds
so get invested, own some gold, stocks.
It sounds like a new reality, Peter, and we thank you for the hard truth. We got to go, but thanks so much for sharing some of your wisdom with you. Sure. Look forward to talking to you again.
Two things I want to address. We have 13 minutes on the show. Brothers and sisters who are listening, guess what just happened? With 13 minutes left to go on the show, the power comes on. Was that an accident? Come on, talk back to you, but I'm just being honest with you. It just comes back on right now. Also, did you hear what Peter Schiff said? He talked about the recklessness of Trump, about investing in more wars and more material and space forces and getting tax cuts to the rich. And then he says he wants to do more spending. He said that's just reckless. According to the dictionary, let's see what the word reckless means. According to Google's dictionary, it's an adjective, and it means of a person or their actions without thinking or caring about the consequence of an action. Right? This is what I've been telling you about. These people are berserkers. They're insane. They don't think about the long-term ramifications of this. They want it now. I call it the microwave age. Give it to me hot and give it to me right now. We're impatient today, and this is what is causing the collapse. These small pieces of economic thermite that was placed at the building's core, which is America, is causing the collapse of America. And this is a real 911, because it is America's emergency call for help, but none can answer her because she's in trouble. She's definitely in trouble. And so, remember, he says, he feared what's coming to America. What did I read to you? The hearts of the people all begin to weaken and to fail because of what is going on and what they see coming. That's what Elijah Muhammad said. In the book called what? He didn't put it in Our Savior Azariah. He put it in a book called The Fall of America. He was warning you of what to look at in America's fall. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. I know the time is playing, and I don't know if this devil might cut me off, shut the show down, or whatever, but I'm going to go to the phone lines immediately right now, and I'm going to bring in our good brother, Brother Jerry. I'll say unto you, As-salamu alaykum, my brother.
Well, as-salam, good brother, and you're right on point, brother, with these beautiful teachings that's taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. In fact, about brother, what you touched on, yes, sir. In fact, what you touched on about China buying up real estate and property all across America and expanding the new Silk Road around the world. There's a very, very, very good article in the website called VoltaireNet by Thierry Mason. Yeah. The title is called The Silk Road in Israel. And you know where I'm going with this. You already know what they're doing over there in Israel. They're buying up, you hear me? And they're buying up all of that to take over 90% of Israel trade. It says Beijing continues unceasingly to develop its Silk Road project. China's Vice President Wang Qishan has undertaken a tour of the Near East, which took him to Israel for 4 days. According to the agreements, which have already been signed, within 2 years, China will control the major part of Israel's agro-food industry, its high technology, and its international exchanges. A free trade agreement should follow, and the geopolitics of the whole region will be turned upside down. The visit of Chinese Vice President Wang Qishan to Israel, Palestine, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates is aimed at developing the new Silk Road. In the autumn of 2013, China made public its project for the creation of maritime and especially terrestrial communication routes across the world. It unblocked colossal sums of money and began to realize its plan at a rapid rate. The main axis will cross either Asia or Russia towards Western Europe, but it is also planning routes across Africa and Latin America. The obstacles to the new Silk Road. The project is going to meet two obstacles, one of them economic, the other strategic. From the Chinese point of view, this project is aimed at exporting its product according to the model of the ancient Silk Road, from the second of the 15th century linked China to Europe via the Fergana Valley, Iran, and Syria. At the time, this concerned transporting products from town to town so that at each stage they were exchanged for other goods according to the needs of the local merchants. However, today, on the contrary, China hopes to sell directly to Europe and the world, but their products are no longer exotic wares, silk, spices, etc., but identical to those of the Europeans and often of superior quality. The commercial route has been transformed into a superhighway, while Marco Polo was dazzled by the silks from the Far East, which their equivalent in Italy, Angela Merkel, is terrified at the idea of seeing her automobile industry destroyed by her Chinese competitors. The developed countries are therefore going to have to do business with Beijing and at the same time protecting industries from economic shock through a revolution. It was specifically to maintain this supremacy that Churchill and Roosevelt signed the Atlantic Charter and the United States engaged in the Second World War. It is therefore probable that the Anglo-Saxons would not hesitate to employ military force in order to hinder the Chinese project, just as they did in 1941 were faced with the German and Japanese projects. Already in 2013, the Pentagon published the Right Plan, which programmed the creation of a new state straddling Iraq and Syria in order to cut the Silk Road between Baghdad and Damascus. This mission was carried out by Daesh. China therefore modified the layout of its route. Beijing finally decided to build the route through Egypt, invested in the doubling of the Suez Canal and the creation of a vast industrial zone 120 kilometers from Cairo. Similarly, the Pentagon organized a color revolution in Ukraine in order to cut the European route and stirred up trouble in Nicaragua in order to prevent the construction of a new canal linking the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans. Despite the unprecedented importance of Chinese investment in the new Silk Road, we have to remember that in the 15th century, China launched a formidable navy in order to secure its markets. Admiral Zheng He, the eunuch with three gems, fought the pirates of Sri Lanka, built pagodas in Ethiopia, and made the pilgrimage to Mecca. Think about that. Notwithstanding on his return for reasons of interior politics, the emperor abandoned the Silk Road and burned his ships. China then withdrew, so we should not imagine that from the Chinese point of view, the current project is a preordained success. In the recent past, China invested in the Middle East with the sole idea of ensuring its oil supply of oil. It built refineries in Iraq, which are inconveniently destroyed either by Daesh or by the Western forces who were pretending to combat the Islamists. Beijing also became the main buyer of Saudi Arabia's black gold, and it also constructed in the kingdom of gigantic oil complex as Yashrif Yanbu for $10 billion. Israel and the New Silk Road, the links between Israel and China date from the mandate of Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, whose parents who had fled the Nazis in order to settle in Shanghai. Benjamin Netanyahu's predecessor had tried to establish strong relations with Beijing, but his efforts were nullified by his support for one of the Somali pirate groups tasked by Washington with disturbing Russian and Chinese maritime traffic at the exit of the Red Sea. A scandal was avoided by inches. China was authorized to establish a navy base in Djibouti, and Ehud Olmert was excluded from political life. China has begun been negotiating a free trade treaty with Israel since 2016. In this context, the Shanghai International Port Group has balked the concession for the exploitation of the ports of Haifa and Ashdod, so that by 2020, China will control 90% of Israeli commercial exchanges. Bright Food has already acquired 50% of the Nuva Kibbutzim cooperative, pardon me, and could increase its participation, though China will control most of the Israeli agricultural market. The founder of the online store Alibaba, Jack Ma, who came to Tel Aviv as part of the official Chinese delegation, did not hide his intention to buy a number of Israeli startups in order to recuperate their high technology. Armament is the only important sector of the Israeli economy still preserved from the Chinese appetite. In September, with the aid of the U.S. Hudson Institute, Professor Shaul Horev organized a conference at Haifa University in order to alert the Pentagon General Staff to the consequences of Chinese investment. In particular, the speakers emphasized that these contracts expose the country to the risk of intensive spying, making it difficult to exploit the port for its nuclear missile launching submarines, as well as its links with the U.S. 6th Fleet. The ex-director of Mossad, Ephraim Halevi, known for his proximity to the United States, pointed out that the National Security Council had never deliberated on these investments, but that the decision has been made solely for reasons of commercial opportunity. This raises the question of whether or not Washington had authorized rapprochement between Tel Aviv and Beijing. We should make no mistake about the reasons which allowed China to implant a military base in Djibouti, and it seems unlikely that Beijing concluded it for the layout of the new Silk Road. Certainly, the United States would not be too worried about an economic collapse of the European Union. However, in the long term, China and Russia are obliged to maintain good relations in order to protect themselves from the Western powers. History has shown that the latter have done and continue to do everything possible to dismantle these major powers. Consequently, if a China-U.S. alliance would be in favor of Beijing in the short and medium term, it would lead thereafter to the successive elimination of Russia and China itself. The Chinese-Israeli agreement suggests that, as Lenin said, the capitalists will sell us the rope we shall use to hang them. And that's exactly what China's doing. They talk about the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Go on, my brother. Talk on that, black man. That's what I'm going to let
go. Brother, that was beautiful. Brother, listen. That was a very beautiful how you read the article, but then you ended the article like that. I was waiting for that point right there, brother. And that's what we've been trying to tell them on the show, that this white man is so greedy.
That's right.
He's going to get all the building blocks to kill himself.
That's right. Wow. That's right.
All praise be to Allah, brother. Well, that was beautiful the way the brother ended it with that. That's what I was telling y'all. This is what I'm trying to tell you. They sent all the manufacturing over to China and all that because it was cheaper. And now they're complaining that China has built up itself. Listen, the thing is changing. Not only is China going to be in control of that, China is also buying up ports all over Africa and investing in ports all over Africa and in the Middle East. But at the same time, and Brother Rashid can attest to this, also it's the number one stakeholder in most, if not all, of the U.S. major ports here. This is something. Do you understand it? How China said, this is not just, he read it to you. This is not, in the eyes of the Chinese, this is not just something economically, it is something also strategically. Why would it be strategic? So that they can use in defense of what they're trying to push over on the people. And this is why they have built up their Navy and their Air Force, because they saw that's what America used to impose her will on others or to prevent anyone from rising. And so, in knowing all of this, we're going to have a part four, and we're going to continue along these lines with the economic part, and we're going to tie it back with the political and then the geopolitical, which is the military part. I'll bring Brother Rashid in right now because I want to play a clip before we go off the air. So I'm going to extend the show a couple of minutes, and I'm going to bring Brother Rashid in right now. Brother Rashid, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Well, Islam, can you hear me?
Yeah, but I hear you very well.
Can
me hear you too. Yes, we can hear you very well.
You're right. China owns all of American ports, brother. But I just called just for one, a few seconds, that everybody said Elijah Muhammad was a little man, but to us, brother, he's 10 feet tall. he is Mr. Big himself. Everybody else was midgets, and he was Mr. Big. I mean, wisdom.
Yes, sir.
There's none of us that can compare with him, brother. You got Messy Jesse Jackson and the rest of these boys running around and hollering. Brother, they know nothing about the future, nothing about what's going on. Elijah Muhammad gives you a global view of things. We ain't thinking about what's happening around our block, up our street, our city, our state. Elijah Muhammad tells you what's happening 50,